1028, Jocks 94.5, three-man front on this Tuesday. Pat Smith, Landrum Roberts, John Saber, Conrad Van Order with you. We'll be joined by Mike Griffith from DogNation.com coming up in just a minute. And in about 25 minutes from now, we'll talk to Scooby Wright from the Birmingham Stallions as their schedule is being released. As we speak, some great home games coming up. In the next hour, we'll talk to Rocco Miller. We'll get his thoughts on bracketology. One of the guys
that is deadly accurate when it comes to predicting
the field.
He is
so accurate when it comes to that. So we'll talk to him next hour about what's going on around the SEC.
Our friends at Donahue, they got a wonderful pre-owned selection of automobiles. Tell you about it all the time. I went to Donahue over a decade ago, and I've been going back ever since. So many of our Jocks listeners have as well. At Donahue, they do things differently than some dealerships. There's no haggle. The price you get up front is the price you're going to get. So you're going to get their best price first. Here's some other great things about Donahue right there in Pelham, Alabama. The average dealer dock fee in the state of Alabama is $500. There is no dock fee there at Donahue, and you can enjoy top brands like BMW. Yes, luxury cars, they can be affordable at Donahue Auto. Also, Chevrolet, Toyota, Nissan, Volkswagen. Check out their monthly specials. Transparent and upfront pricing. That's what you're going to get. It's DonahueAuto.com. That is DonahueAuto.com.
Joining us now on the Bud Light Hotline, his weekly visit with us from DogNation.com, and Mobile, Alabama native who was down there covering the Senior Bowl for Dog Nation. Mike Griffith joins us now on Three Man Front. Mike, how was your trip down to the coast?
It was great. I was going to help you guys out. I know you guys got Rocco coming on with the bracket time. I'm a bit of an expert, too. And I'm going to tell you right now that my projections do not have Georgia in there. So I just want you to know that up front. That I stay on top of these things as well as anybody.
Now, wait a second.
Right now, Georgia is not projected to make the NCAA men's basketball tournament. So I'm going to give you guys a heads up on that.
Well, quickly, though, what's the temperature, though, with Mike White in his first year taking over for Tom Crean? A lot of is the future bright?
There's no climate for basketball to begin with, so there's no temperature because nobody cares.
Where is the stranglehold of Georgia basketball on college basketball?
People around Athens and the community around here, but it doesn't have a presence. And, you know, it's as simple as this. If you want to get better, you got to pay your players. You got to pay for better players. It's as simple as that. You could bring John Wooden. You could bring him back from the dead, and he couldn't coach these guys to the NIT.
Whoa.
It's not about the coaching. You got to have better players. It's that simple.
All right, so before we close the book on basketball then talk about college football, I wanted to ask you about Mark Fox, because I had the unfortunate situation on Sunday of doing something around the house, and I had the Utah-California basketball game on. And first off, I did not realize that Mark Fox, the former Georgia head coach, is now at California. But I also didn't realize that California is like now 3-20. Yeah, that's right, 3-20 on the season. Did you have any dealings with Mark Fox, or were you in Athens yet before?
No, I wasn't there. Mark Fox wasn't here. He had just, you know, I came in for Crean, who was a really good coach and led Indiana to Big Ten titles. But again, you didn't have players here, and you don't have players, then you can't win games. And like again, it doesn't matter. And, you know, Fox is known for his defense. He's a guy that's, you know, good at making something out of nothing, but maybe he has less than nothing. You know, Cal basketball, it's been a minute. I think Conzo had an okay run there, but again, it's capped. This is a money game, and the teams that spend the money for players are the ones that are going to win. And if you spend money for players and you have a good coach, you can do really great things. But I don't think Cal spends a lot of money, and I don't think there's much to be squeezed out there. Again, there's only so much you can do with X's and O's in basketball. It's, you know, football, maybe you can scheme it up a little bit. Maybe that can be a separator because you got so many moving pieces. But there's five guys out there, and it's you know, shooting and who shoots the highest percentage and who rebounds, and you got to have good players to win. So I can't believe we spent this much time talking about basketball, but
I can't either.
You know, these are strange days. I guess where Alabama football isn't as relevant as it once was.
Oh,
basketball
wow.
is. So we went there.
Oh wow. Let's drop it.
We got balloons flying over Myrtle Beach. I mean, it's crazy times, Mike.
Well, you got Nick Saban hiring two coaches and losing the best offensive and defensive player all at once. I do like the hires though. I like Tommy Rees. I like the institutional knowledge on Brian Kelly that Nick's going to get out of that. I think Rees was a good quarterback. If he wasn't a good coach, Nick Saban wouldn't hire him. He's got a great BS meter. I mean, he's still the greatest coach of our, you know, last 20 years. He's the GOAT, as they say. You know, but that doesn't mean he's been the best the last 2 years or he'll be the best next year. I mean, you've seen that. I don't know what happened these last, I guess this last season with the two losses. It should have never gone there. I think maybe part of the issue is the coach at Ole Miss now. I don't think he did a great job. I don't think he left Alabama on his own either. If we just want to keep throwing the elephants out of the room, I think you're going to make a big step up and improvement there with Steele. You know, Kevin Steele's a really proven coach, been around a long time. I think that's a really strong move by Alabama. And I've got optimism that Tommy Reese, but you got to, you know, you got to figure out who your quarterback is, and you got to have a group of kids that put it all together and find the right chemistry. Because the SEC West is, you know, LSU's got both quarterbacks coming back, and Brian Kelly showed you that when he has equal pieces, you know, or less, I don't know, I kind of thought Alabama had more than LSU. He beat Nick Saban.
Mike Griffith, DogNation.com, and the AJC joining us on Three Man Front. All of our guests join us on the Bud Light Hotline. All right, speaking of coordinator hires, Todd Monken, we know that he has continued to interview with the Tampa Bay Bucks for their open offensive coordinator position. Georgia says money will not be an issue based on what you see or what you hear about Todd Monken. What do you think the likelihood is that he's coaching an athlete?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Next season,
You know what? I don't have enough knowledge to really give you anything more than a 50-50 guess. I don't know what Munkin's end game is. I know if you look at his track record, he's never really stayed anywhere a long time. That's usually a pretty good indication. Guys like that, you know, start getting the itch. If things start going bad, they get the itch. If they conquer and win two titles, they get the itch. You know, what's left to win? You've won back-to-back titles with a guy that no other Power 5 school wanted to give a scholarship to. It's pretty impressive. Now, what nobody talks about, because it doesn't fit into the fairy tale narrative, is that Georgia's had lights-out defense, and they got the best defensive staff in college football between Muschamp, Kirby, and Schumann, or Lanning, you know, before he went to Oregon. So they've done that on the back of an outstanding defense and an outstanding amount of talent and depth from the recruiting ranks. You know, does Munkin want to stick around and try to win a Heisman Trophy with Carson back, or does he want to go to the NFL and try to win a Super Bowl? I don't think either one of these teams, Baltimore or Tampa Bay, are one or two moves away from a Super Bowl. John Harbaugh hadn't been in an AFC Championship game since more than 10 years ago when he won a Super Bowl. You know, the Buccaneers, you know, look like they're in a bit of... So I don't know what Munkin's end game is, and that's just a lot of talk with me saying at the end of the conversation, I really don't know what he's going to do. I could see it playing out either way, but I don't have any insight to that.
Let's talk about what you saw, what you heard, what you witnessed down at the Senior Bowl. It's always a great event, first off, and I know Georgia and a lot of other SEC guys made some impressions last week. Who impressed you as you were there covering the Senior Bowl?
Well, first off, you know, just for the people that watch the game on TV, if it doesn't, you know, there's so much more to it. Like, when we talk about the Senior Bowl and its importance, the game is one of the least important parts of the week. And that's kind of the showcase that everybody sees on TV. And you really can't gain much from it. You know, these guys have had three practices together. It's really more about kind of an on-the-job interview. When these guys are going to practice and going to meetings, they're noticing who's showing up first and who's showing up last. They're looking at how guys are dressed. They're looking at how they interact with one another. They're looking at what they eat. I mean, they put these guys under the microscope when they're in Mobile, you know, trying to figure out who's going to be able to transition into the NFL easiest, you know, and the practices, the drill work, all those things are important. Again, everything is being scrutinized by the coaches that are there. It's a great opportunity for both the NFL to really look at some of the prospects that they're considering investing millions in, and for the players to compete and show up and show what they're all about. Show, you know, where their level of, you know, their standard of excellence is, as Nick Saban talks about, or as Kirby Smart talks about, and how they carry themselves at the event. So I look at it as kind of on-the-job training, and it's really not a bad thing for anybody there, I don't think, because the fact that you're there tells the NFL that, look, this is a guy that's, you know, willing to jump through the hoops to be in the league and show up and show out and do what we ask. So it's a good first impression just to go to that game. You know, I thought that, you know, I watched the Georgia players closer than any of them. Obviously, it was my primary responsibility. But I was impressed with Kenny McIntosh. I thought Kenny was a guy that you didn't hear a whole lot of this season. You know, the narrative obviously was elsewhere. But there's a lot of guys that won that championship at Georgia. It certainly wasn't a one-player, you know, team that, you know, you put every – I mean, there were so many good players, and a few of them, Kenny McIntosh, Chris Smith, you know, kicker Jack Podlesny, Warren McClendon. Guy was in a wreck less than 3 weeks ago that killed two people, and he's out there playing. You know, if you're an NFL scout or an NFL manager, you got to go, man, this kid has got some heart. The fact that he was out there competing in practices less than 3 weeks removed from that wreck. So I guess to me that's probably the biggest takeaway was seeing Warren McClendon out there 2 months away, 2 months removed from a knee sprain. Less than 3 weeks away, removed from an incredibly tragic accident, and he's out there playing football. I mean, that was probably the biggest takeaway in terms of what I saw that was newsworthy that'll stick with me.
Well, Mike, as always, we appreciate your time. You got a quick thought on the Super Bowl for Sunday? Who you like?
You know, I like the Eagles, but didn't the line come out where the Chiefs were favored and then the money shifted to the Eagles, right?
That is correct. That is absolutely correct.
Anytime Vegas stands to lose money, I get a little nervous. Yeah. So it looks obvious to me like the Eagles are the better team and should win, but if you're telling me Vegas takes a bath if that happens, I go, could those guys in Vegas be that wrong about something this big? I don't know. I know you shouldn't. You know, everybody, and it probably takes the fun out of it, but just standing back and looking, I think Jalen Hurts has had a great year. I think he's become a superstar. I like the way the Eagles are built. They're able to run the ball. They're physical. They're young. They're aggressive. You know, the Chiefs seems to have, but Vegas is Vegas. So, I mean, I'm kind of on the fence because I think one thing Vegas thinks the other. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll sit back and, you know, watch the commercials like everybody else and see how this thing plays out.
Yeah, as of right now, Philadelphia is a 1.5 point favorite. So,
yeah, like I said, it should be a really good. You know, you'd like to think it'll be a really good game. I actually talked to Patrick Mahomes' agent this morning. He represents Stetson Bennett, and I mean, he didn't really have much to say. You know, he basically said, "Well, here's the PR person to contact." I'm thinking, okay, not a lot of involvement there, but. Okay. That's what you represent. I'm cool with it.
All right. No problem. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Gotcha.
Oh, my goodness. That is Mike Griffith, as always, Mike. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. That's Mike Griffith joining us on the Bud Light Hotline, carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there. Season 2 of the Birmingham Stallions right around the corner. We're going to be joined by one of the stars of last year's world champion Birmingham Stallions, Scooby Wright. An awesome college football player, awesome professional football player. He's going to join us next. Talk about the Stallions' schedule and what's coming up for the USFL Year 2. That's next on Three Man Front.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.